there is a very special nigun that they play at weddings during the, how do you say, the circles that the bride making around the broom. Very strong nigun. That Breslov is only happy music. It's a very strange conflict because a lot of people think that Breslov is always being happiness, no despair in the world at all, but probably if we met Rabbeinu, he would look very depressed most of the time. It doesn't mean that he was depressed, but he wasn't showing his happiness so much outside most of the time, only in special occasions. Okay, so we're in Parashat Nitzavim. I don't know what happened to me. I'm feeling like I forgot my English this week.
There's a cold going around.
And we got to the parasha with the pasuk that I chose to say at the end of Shmonasre. You know that everyone can choose a verse that either one or out of two options, or that his name is in that verse, or that the verse starts with the first letter of his name and ends with the last letter of his name. The reason to pick the name is because it's written that in Judgment Day, means in the day when a person goes up to the higher court, he might forget his name from obvious reasons. So this verse is helping to remember. Anyway, so this is the verse that I chose. My name is Ariel. That verse is beginning with the letter Aleph and ends with the letter Lamed. Atem nitzavim hayom kulchem lifnei Adonai Elohechem ראשיכם, שבטיכם, זקניכם ושוטריכם, כל איש ישראל. אוקיי? אתם begins with אלף, ישראל ends with למד. Now, Moshe is gathering all of the nation, everybody. And he mentions, also continues in the next verses, the children, the women, the converts, everyone. What is he saying? אתם ניצבים היום, כולכם, you're all standing today in front of Hashem. It always היום. It always that day that we're standing in front of Hashem. Always. היום, היום, every day. This is why it's very this is why I chose that verse. It's very strong for me. היום. And Rabbi Natan explains why is that parasha and that verse always coming before of Rosh Hashanah. First of all, because of Judgment Day. Rosh Hashanah is the Judgment Day. And he explains that on Rosh Hashanah is the day, the special day, that we all need to gather together, the big ones, the important ones, the smaller ones, the ones that it seems to be that they're not important, all together with love, to glue ourselves one to another, all to be together. Where? Go back to Moshe. This is the point of Breslev, especially when it's concerned to Rosh Hashanah, as you know. It's a very strong idea, because we never had the merit to gather all together with love under Moshe. Always someone was kicking that bucket. There is no one to blame. But what kind of love are we talking about? We are just after Tisha B'Av, concentrating in the destruction. And we're just after Tu B'Av, the special day of lovers. And we were taught that we need to look for Ahavat Chinam. The destruction happened because of Sinat Chinam. And I know that it sounds bad because of the connotations in English, but the simple translation is free love. Why? Like you said, for no reason, but it is for a reason. What do I mean? When everybody has the same vision and the same ideologies and the same whatever faith, the same way, it's just love. It's a complete love, maybe. But what is free love? What is love for a reason, for no reason? The side of free love, for no reason, that completes that idea, is the understanding that we are different. Everyone is different. And everyone really has his own way, his own path in Avodat Hashem, his own journey in life, his own tests and choices to make. But people choose to think that when they got to some point, and that's a true point, so all of the rest of, let's say, the nation, not to say the humanity, all of the rest need to follow the way that they found. Even not if I'm not choosing to lead you, but understand what I understood already. But if we understand that we're different, like a couple, a man and a woman. Okay? Shalom Bayit, real true peace in the house, is not when someone obeys to the other. Or the, I don't know, you choose Sundays and Mondays you obey to me, Thursdays I obey to... No. It's that we're different. And sometimes we fight on our differences. But we know that nothing will separate us. And we have a vision for the long run. We know that nothing can break that. This is real peace in the house. Peace is not no fighting at all. I don't know, is fight is maybe a hard word, but disagreements and discussions and hard talks, I don't know. I forgot my English. We're different. And free love is that we accept the difference and what we see as bad or wrong on our friends, and we choose to love him anyway. Free love. Because he basically, according to my logic, he deserves my hatred and not my love. Because he's wrong, because he's bad, because he's I don't know what. But when I'm coming to the place that I know that nothing would separate me from that Jew, the Mishnah is saying in Pirkei Avot, Lo alecha melacha ligmor, it's not your job to finish. Ve'en ata rashai leibatel mimena, but you're not allowed to stop working. So, maybe you imagine to yourself that you're very important, you think that you're a big commander, it's not your job to finish. Don't start commanding no one. Don't start thinking that, oh no, the redemption is not coming because of those Chabadnikim, because of those that not coming with me to Uman in Rosh Hashanah, it's not coming because of this, because of that. Stop. Okay? No. It's not, probably it's not coming because of you, because you're talking that way. So you're not allowed to blame no one for not walking in the way you chose because you think this is the way to bring redemption to the world. But you're not allowed to stop working. You don't have the merit to stop spreading the rumor. If you found good and you really believe in going to Uman in Rosh Hashanah, you need to spread the word. You need to talk about it. You need to tell people that it's the most amazing thing that you ever felt, or that Rabbi Nachman promised the most amazing promises, or whatever you think. And if you're a Chabadnik and you're going to 770, you need to tell people how amazing it is. You cannot save the good to yourself. Never. What, do you want to be redeemed alone? That's also not an option. That's also a reason for redemption not to come. Because redemption is to all of us. And as long as someone is still outside, redemption is not coming. So if you really believe in something, talk about it. Tell people. But don't force and don't blame no one for not following it. For not understanding the high understanding that you got to. You're so low. So low. You have no idea who Rabbi Nachman was. You have no idea what Rosh Hashanah in Uman is. No idea. I'm telling you, after 7 years, I have no idea. No idea. Again, I know it sounds bad, but this is the right translation, because unconditional love is a different thing. Unconditional love is the kind of love that the Creator is able to give us. But it's not the kind of love that we're able to give each other. Because we have feelings. And our feelings is pushing us away from love sometimes. And we need to choose love for no reason in those times. To go beyond our feelings. But of course, the love of the Creator is an unconditional love. And every human being, has at least one call a day that his soul is waking up from inside and speaking the voice of Hashem and telling him, I love you. Hashem loves you with an unconditional love. And it depends where we are at that moment. If we're really into the move and into doing and strengthening ourselves, and we're into doing tshuva, so it gives us a lot of power. And if we're not at that position in that moment, so it's waking up a big rejection inside of us. Because we feel far. And the most annoying thing in the world is when you're angry that someone will tell you, don't be angry. Calm down. When you're sad, someone telling you, be happy. Go away. I know I should be happy, but this is not what I need to hear now. So when you're feeling far and you're hearing that voice, sometimes it brings a very, very big rejection inside of people, and we see. And Rabbeinu is also talking about that. That there are people that are trying to choke that voice inside of them, not to talk, not to say those words, because they want to enjoy their sins more. And that voice is not allowing that. It reminds them that, after all, it's a sin. It's wrong. And they want to feel their comfortability with themselves, with their deeds. There are two kinds of sins. One is like a drunk person. He lost his mind. He's drunk. He doesn't understand what's happening with him. So he's sinning. But there is one that is sinning because he's very thirsty to sin. Someone that the flames of desire is leading him and he really wants. He have deep intentions to sin, to just sin. Which means that he's not drunk. He knows that he's sinning. That's the idea. But Hashem is never leaving us. Hashem is always, every day, calling back again. Even if you sinned like the thirsty one. Unconditional love is unconditional love. We talked about the importance of crying. And I thought to myself that it's very, very deep that as a parent you need to let your children cry when they need to cry. Because, like we said a lot of times, children doesn't have God in life. And before the age of 3, maybe. And basically, I think before the age of 6 or 7, even if they have that word, it's only a concept somehow. To really start grabbing the meaning of godliness, it's not happening so fast. But during those years, he is gaining the kind of feelings and spiritual being that he is going to be in that world. And the way he feels, the way a baby feels to his parents, is the way he's going to feel to his God. And it's going to be very, very hard to change that. It's going to be very, very hard to believe him when he wants to tell you that he loves you, when you feel that he hates you. It's going to be really, really hard to engrave the feeling and the understanding that there is someone that has an unconditional love to you. It's very, very hard to do that. And if you ask me, the only way to do that is by learning how to accept the hard feelings and to open the ways to express them. Because a child that was running in the field or in the, I don't know, and he fell and he hit his head and he's starting to cry because it hurts. Okay? Uh-huh. You tell me what is the reason to stop his crying in that moment. Okay. People do that always. But if you would fall on your head, you would go to a doctor to check you, but you're telling me not to cry and that it's okay, everything is okay. And it's more than that, like I just said. When the child feels that there are times that you're not accepting him the way he is, these are the moments that he understands that there is no unconditional love in the world. This is the message that he gets. And we all got that message, probably, I assume. I hope you had an amazing childhood. But I assume that... Now, no parent is perfect. And the big chidush about Chodesh Elul, that Rabbi Nachman is saying in that parasha, is... Pasuk is saying, Umal Hashem et levavcha ve'et levav zaracha. Hashem will circumcise the heart, your heart, and the heart of your seed. So it's Rashi Tevot, et levavcha, your heart, ve'et levav, and the heart of, and the heart, and then it continues of your seed, but et le, your heart and the heart, is Rashi Tevot Elul. Et levavcha, alef lamed, ve'et vav, levav, lamed. Okay? So Rabbi Nachman is not the one that first discovered those Rashi Tevot, but he's bringing an amazing explanation to that. No, like I said, no parent is perfect. But if the parent is doing real tshuva, it also cleans the heart of his seed. Even after.
It's amazing.
But only when it's...
Superpower.
What?
I feel like that's like a superpower.
Yes. The power of tshuva is the superpower of that creation. That's what it is. It's written that tshuva was created before the world. And the idea is to go back to tshuva. What? Tshuva. I also received an amazing question that was asking, what is the difference between the covenant that we meet in that parasha and the covenant with Avraham Avinu? And it also a very deep question because it concerns to the idea on conversion and the idea of the nations and Israel. The covenant with Avraham Avinu is a covenant on the faith itself. This is why the worst thing is idol worshipping, because this is not Avraham Avinu even. And I don't know how many idol worshipping we really have today. I think it's mostly ritual and not something people... I don't know. But what we have in the Torah, with Moshe, is the foundation of a religion, the foundation of a special nation that needs to have the, how to say, I began right, needs to have, because we're failing all the time. But we need to have the right lifestyle, the right approach to life, the right vision, the right... And I was also asked why, if we sin so many times in the desert, so why Hashem is just bringing a new covenant and choosing us again and again, which basically this is the claim of Christianity. That you sin too much, you didn't follow the rules, the whatever you were supposed to follow. So the unconditional love stopped, which makes it an not unconditional from first place, which makes the Creator a natural being, which is a mistake. To say it in one sentence, a big mistake. It's a very, very cruel concept. Who promises that he won't abandon you one day?
Wasn't the time this covenant was made, it was around the time Moshe was going to die, no?
Yes.
I think it was. This was the most important covenant because God is saying, like, we already seen everything, except been through everything,
such and such,
and now I'm staying here with you. Like, I'm permanent. I'm promising that I'm going to stay.
Yes, even if when Moshe is going, leaving everything.
Yeah, everything. Because maybe people thought that Moshe also was like a, well, he was like a link. He was a prophet, but he's saying I'm here, and he said, "Lo etchem
levadchem."
Levadchem?
Okay. Not only you, but the further generation.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
But that talks about... My question was like, is that talking about responsibility? Because then in the Perasha it says mm-hmm. that Jews are going to be dispersed.
Yes.
And it says, many of you, you've seen in the desert, you've seen all the different religions and their idols, and you've seen everything.
Yeah.
Many of you, families, people, and tribes, will decide to go back to those idols.
Mm-hmm.
And you can do it, but I will curse your lands.
Yes.
And then it says that to the Jews that are dispersed, you that are here in Israel, well, before coming to Israel, but you that are listening to this covenant, it's your responsibility to bring those people to back to me, to the Torah.
Mm. First of all, I'm not sure that you're saying the right pshat, but the simple understanding of the text. I think you build something. It's a beautiful chidush that exile, of course everything has meaning, but you got to a very beautiful approach to understand the meaning of exile, that people that were exiled to whatever land they were exiled to, it's written in the Kabbalah, in the secrets, the idea of sparks, collecting the sparks, okay? So this is what they say about exile, okay? That Jews went to whatever to collect sparks. But according to your explanation, it's beautiful because they went to those lands, to those nations, to bring the converts as well. And also, what I thought, and I heard it between the lines of your words, is that we need to spread the light. Okay? So we see that it didn't work in the foreign lands that the Jews will spread the light. Okay? It mostly brought murder. But we probably learned the mentalities of the nations. So, at the end of times, which is probably close to now, I don't know how close, but we see that we're gathering back to the land of Israel, we'll know the right approach to each nation to spread the light to them. And as it's written, Beiti bet tefilai el kol ha'amim, the temple is going to be a house of prayer to all nations. it's not going to be the Jewish temple for the Jews. It's going to be the Jewish temple for all nations. So is that answering you,
yeah.
Sama?
Yes, thank you.
The question was the Chiddush itself, because it's not a simple understanding of the verses.
People that do Teshuvah know everything. Well, not everything, of course.
Yes.
Know that there are many other things except from Judaism.
But they choose.
Like, you've been searching for truth in many other places, and you know that there are many other ways you can go.
Yes.
But you still choose Judaism.
Yes, yes. Yes.
And if you were born from a family,
yes.
You don't know that there are anything.
Yes.
Like, it counts, of course, it's amazing, but you don't know anything else.
Yes, yes. This is why we need to believe in ourselves as Chozrim Betshuva. That we have a special mission. Because we can talk to everybody. We can talk to secular, we can talk to non-Jews, we can talk to everybody. And now, as a religious, we can talk to the Frum. We're the bridge, really, and we have what to share and to show. Bezrat Hashem, Bezrat Hashem.